An elderly couple had been married for 65 years when they died together in a car accident. They had both been in perfect health due to the wife's strict diet and exercise program. They went to heaven and were in awe of the mansion that had been prepared for them. There was a beautiful gourmet kitchen, an indoor swimming pool, a suite complete with a hot tub. The husband asked St. Peter, "Just how much is this going to cost?" St. Peter said, "It's all free. You're in heaven now." And they went outside to see the golf course, which was directly behind the mansion. St. Peter explained that they were going to have golfing privileges every day and their own cart with their names engraved on it. The husband says, "How much are the greens fees?" St. Peter said, "This is heaven. You play for free, of course." Next, they went to the clubhouse, and they were in time for the magnificent breakfast buffet, complete with sausages, quiches, and sizzling bacon. "Well, how much is this going to cost for the buffet?" asked the husband. "Dear, don't you get it?" the wife suddenly replied. "We're in heaven. It's all free." "Well, where are the healthy foods and the low cholesterol eggs?" the husband asked hesitantly. "In heaven, you can eat as much as you like of anything," St. Peter said. "You'll never gain weight and you'll never get sick. This is heaven." "Are you serious?" the husband said. Then he turned to his wife and looked at her and said, "And if it weren't for you and your oat bran, we would have been here 20 years ago." In today's gospel, we have a preview of heaven. Jesus reveals his glory of what he will look like in the heavenly kingdom. His face was changed, his clothes became dazzling white, and he was in glory. So what we have here is a preview of coming attractions. You know, when you go to the movies never start on time. They always start 15 minutes later. Why? Because of previews, trailers. They want to give you a preview of coming attractions to encourage you to come back and see a future movie. That's what Jesus did today. He gave his apostles a preview of a coming attraction, of what heaven will be like, and also what his resurrected glory will be like too, when he would rise from the dead on Easter morning. Today's gospel is the Transfiguration from St. Luke. The church always gives us the reading of the Transfiguration on the second Sunday of Lent every year. And I think that's because the church wants us to encourage us to persevere in our prayer, in our penance, in our Lenten practices, our Lenten sacrifices, to remind us what is the end goal, what is the future that we look forward to, and that is being with God forever in heaven and seeing God face to face in the beatific vision. In today's gospel, Jesus goes up the holy mountain, and he takes his three closest apostles, Peter, James, and John. And they, of course, fall asleep, and Jesus prays. And as Jesus is praying, it says his face was changed, and he was transformed, and his clothes became dazzling white. There are many applications and practical things we can take from today's gospel. One would be the power of prayer to transform us. Prayer changes us. Prayer transforms us, and we become changed. The most important thing we can do for Lent is to spend more time in prayer. That should be the number one thing, to spend time in prayer with the Lord, opening up the Scripture, talking to Jesus, and praying. Prayer will transform us and change us, as we see it change the Lord in today's gospel. Just as you can't go to the beach and spend time in the sun without becoming tan, soaking up the rays of the sun, even though they do have harmful rays in there. When you pray, especially before Jesus in the tabernacle, you soak up his rays, his graces, and there's no harmful effects of that. Jesus is the Son of God, and as you sit before him or kneel before him in adoration before the Blessed Sacrament, you too will soak up the rays of the Son of God, and it will transform us. And that's what we want during Lent, to be transformed, to become more like Christ. And as the apostles woke up, they noticed there were two men next to Christ, Moses on one side and Elijah on the other. arguably the two most important figures of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets, the law and the prophets. And even though they had died, you know, 1,000 years before, they were not dead. When our loved ones die, they're not dead. Only the body dies. The soul is immortal. It lives forever. And Moses and Elijah appeared in glory next to Jesus. And this is an important point. When we talk to our friends of other denominations that don't believe in asking the saints to pray for us, here it is, Moses and Elijah. They're not dead guys. They're alive. They were talking to Jesus and about his upcoming exodus. That's an interesting word. What was the exodus in the Old Testament? The exodus in the Old Testament was when God brought the chosen people out of Egypt from slavery into the promised land for freedom. That was the exodus. Why do Moses and Elijah call Jesus' journey to Jerusalem an exodus? Because Jesus is going into Jerusalem to suffer, to die for us, to rise from the dead, so that he can free us from the slavery of sin and bring us to the promised land of heaven. That's why it's called Jesus' exodus. The Israelite people, the chosen people, they had to pass through the Red Sea. It represented baptism, a prefigurement of baptism. Jesus went through a baptism of blood by his scourging, his crowning with thorns, his crucifixion, and by his ultimate death and resurrection. And Jesus went through that for us. He went through his exodus that we might be freed from the slavery of sin and experience the freedom of the children of God and one day eternal life with God in heaven. So Peter and James and John see this. Peter begins to speak and says, "Master, it's so good that we are here witnessing this. Let's make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." He wanted to build three shrines, three chapels, three little booths, one for each of them. And as Bishop Sheen says, St. Peter might have been a good fisherman, but he was probably a lousy carpenter. And he wanted to let this moment remain. He wanted to capture this moment and stay up there forever. But of course, God the Father intervenes and says, "No. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." That is the words of God the Father. So as you notice here, it says, while St. Peter was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. What is the cloud? The cloud is the Holy Spirit. It's called the Shekinah glory of God. And it represents the Holy Spirit. Just as the cloud was over the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle, so now the cloud envelops Christ. And God the Father speaks, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him." So here we have a manifestation, a revelation of the Blessed Trinity. God the Father speaking, Jesus the Son of God on the holy mountain, and the cloud of the Holy Spirit enveloping them. So to Peter, James, and John, they got a little glimpse of the Blessed Trinity. Of course, they could not see God face to face. Nobody can see God in this world and live, but in heaven, we get to see God face to face in the beatific vision. They were given a view of it, but covered in a certain way. And so then it says, they fell silent and did not tell anyone what they had seen at that time. Later on, Peter and James and John would write these accounts, and we have the Gospels, and we know about the Transfiguration because of the witness of these three men, Peter, James, and John. So I think what we can really take from today's Gospel is, first of all, the power of prayer to transform us during Lent. Let's spend time in prayer. Jesus reveals his future glory of heaven, the future glory of the resurrection. And it's a reminder that the sufferings of this world are as nothing compared to the glory of heaven. One of the best quotes of all Scripture is St. Paul, who says, "The sufferings of this world are nothing compared to the glory that will be revealed in us." So we look forward to the resurrection of Christ on Easter, and let's persevere in our Lenten prayer and penance and sacrifice during this holy season. And then, of course, let's keep our ultimate goal, our ultimate eyes focused on heaven, on what it'll be like in the magnificent kingdom of heaven, to see God face to face, to see Our Lady, the angels, and the saints, and never having to worry about eating oat bran again.